Hello everyone, I'm Danny Ohana and you are listening to Business Leader Stories, the podcast. The only podcast where you can listen to real stories told by real business leaders. So without any further ado, let's go. So hello everybody, this is Daniel here and today I'm with Anna Shahomian, who's the business development manager at Tom Horn Gaming. Anna, how are you doing?
Great, Daniel. Thank you for inviting me here. I'm feeling good. Perfect. And what about you?
I'm excited to have you on the show. And as I was saying your name, I started to think, am I supposed to pronounce it as Anna or Anne, or what is the your preferable way to be called as?
Actually, everybody in the industry is calling me Anya.
Anya, it's, okay.
Yeah. But I'm used to Anna as well. It's my real name, what I can do.
Actually, I remember, I don't know if it's too much information, but I remember when I was at high school, there was this girl, she was also beautiful as you, and her name was Anya, and she was an A-plus student, and all the students in the class wanted to sit next to her, so their grades will go up, because she was like kind of a motivator for people to learn better, so this name has a good association for myself.
That's what
Anya.
Nice to hear.
But anyway, I'll keep on calling you Anna because that's the correct name. So we'll
Perfect.
Stick to that.
Sure.
By the way, you know, I never start that way, but I just feel like going towards that direction. How were you in high school? What type of student were you?
No, I was not learning all the subjects so very well. I had my interest in foreign languages and that's what I was doing. So yeah, that was it. So actually not a very good student.
And how many languages do you talk? Do you speak?
Oh, I wouldn't be modest in this case. It's six.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, now I'm learning seventh language, which is Spanish.
So wait, let's count them. Let's count them together. So obviously English, yeah. That's the first one.
Yeah, my native language, Armenian,
wow,
Russian,
okay.
Polish. Did I mention? Yes, I mentioned. It's Turkish a bit because I haven't used it for a long time. French, and plus now I'm learning Spanish because I moved here 3 months ago and I need to speak the language.
Wow. Do you know how to fluently talk in all of those languages and also read, or is it just having a conversation?
With Turkish and French, I have a bit problems because I don't have much practice. But anyways, if I speak to people, I understand everything. I can read, I can translate. But I have this problem with communication or explaining myself. So,
wow, but it's still super impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm proud of myself, what I can say.
Yes, it's a natural talent. It's a very cool one, specifically in the times that we're living at, where it's kind of a global environment, essentially. So you meet people all over the world. And
yeah, you can guess that I'm zero at maths. So it's obvious, right?
Darling, it's the same here, you know, but I have my boyfriend is like a math genius. So everything that has to do with calculations, I give it to him. But yes, I'm really bad at math. In Israel, there is levels of math when you're at high school, like 3 points, 4 points and five points. So three, it's like the easiest. And I was able to pass it with lots of luck, like literally on the point of not getting my final certificate as a high school student. I always laugh that my mom has brought me so many private tutors to teach me math that I think that one of them at least bought an actual apartment just from the hours he spent with me trying to make me.
I had the same, don't worry. Really, I had the same case. They were sending me to all the teachers, tutors, so that I can have some idea.
Yeah, so.
I know the basic ones, that's enough.
Yeah, me too. The basic is the most important for the daily life. So back to the daily life, actually, let's start the way I usually start, where I ask people to just freely talk about themselves a little bit, to introduce themselves and the company that they work for. So here you go.
Yeah, so as you can guess, my name is Anna. I'm from Tom Horn Gaming, working there as a business development manager. Mm-hmm. I love the company, but I'll speak about it later. So my venture in the industry started, oh my God, already 10 years ago. It was as a live dealer. I started my career in the industry as a live dealer, so it was quite a good experience. But after working 3 years night shift, I understood, no, I need some changes.
Yes.
So yeah, right after that, I moved to the sales department in the same company, and I stayed in the industry. And by the way, I don't understand people who switched, like, not companies, but industry, once they are in the gambling industry, how they can get out of this. Everything.
That's what everybody is saying, you know. Everybody that I've interviewed for this podcast is saying this industry is actually addictive, even to the people who are working in it. Like, once you get in, you cannot get out. It's like so intense, and there are so many things happening simultaneously, and everything is so much fun. So yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah, I had a short break for maybe 2-3 years. But thanks to COVID, I'm back to the industry because I moved to Poland 5 years ago, already 6. Mm-hmm. And that time, I didn't have much opportunities to work there remotely because it was not very popular. And so, yeah, thanks to COVID, I had an offer to work remotely from my home, and it was amazing. So I was suffering so much. I was really sad to leave the industry just because of the country that I live in. But now it's perfect that I work remotely and I can work from wherever I want. So
you can enjoy both worlds of like being at home and having the benefits and the enjoyment of being in this industry that obviously you like so much. And it makes me curious to ask you, how come you even got to begin with to this industry?
I was working as a translator.
Obviously.
Yeah. Makes sense. It was, 10 years ago. And my friend just called me and asked, would you like to work as a dealer in 2-3 languages, Russian, Armenian, English? I said, dealer? No, never. What you're talking about? And I was at work. I just hanged on the phone. And right after, she's calling me the same evening, asking me the same question again. And I was curious, what is that? I was imagining that dealing. She mentioned that it's online. But I was a bit scared of casino stuff and everything. And I just said, okay, why not? Let me go there and check. There was a studio, small studio. There were 2 tables testing. And yeah, people were sitting in front of the cameras speaking. I liked it a lot. So I gave it a try. Next day, I resigned from the company that I worked.
Whoa.
And I started my journey. Yeah, it was a quick decision.
Love at first handle, how I don't know how to say it because you were a live dealer, so love at first card, site, whatever.
Love at first card or camera.
Yes.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. I love that time, remembering about everything, how everything started. And I remember my first ICE in 2030. Yes, 13 or 14.
Wow.
I went there as a live dealer. But later on, after 3 years, I went as a sales and everything was totally different because I understood how much work, how much efforts are doing salespeople. So I love the industry and I love what I'm doing.
Wow, that's so interesting that you said that there was a big difference from you experiencing ICE from the eyes of a live dealer to the eyes of someone who's in a sales position. Can you maybe elaborate on this a bit more? Because it's interesting.
Basically, when I was doing live dealing, it was nothing difficult. You were just communicating with people, same as at sales, but you have more responsibility. You need to show yourself. You need to go into details. And it's from the same side, it can seem the same, like, okay, you're communicating with people offering the same product, but no, sales takes more responsibility. And it's I'm very passionate about it.
Wow. I love it. I love the switch that you've done and the fact that you're actually passionate about it. What part do you like the most about this type of work?
Obviously, communicating with people. I love speaking with different people from different countries, cultures. I love telling about what I'm doing at the company and what we have. Because I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. I worked at a company that didn't have good products and I needed to sell them. I don't like the word sell and everything. But anyways, you need to have a good product so that your employees enjoy what they are selling. So I had a bad experience of, I was even not, couldn't convince myself to buy this product before. But yeah, at the moment, I'm very happy of what I'm offering to people, and I'm 100% sure that they'll get what they're asking for.
This is so important. I think that if you don't believe at what you sell, it becomes almost impossible to say to other people, because you know, my boss Sneer, he will probably be listening to this podcast. So, hey Sneer, we love you. So he always says that yes. So he always says that people can smell bullshit from very far. So you have to be authentic, otherwise people can sense it.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it reminds me now, funny thing, that the first time that we met was in Belgrade, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was literally the most authentic kind of a meeting that we had, because it was in a restaurant that was on the sides of a shore, of a lake, I don't know how to call it, and I was feeding the swans.
Yeah.
And I was telling you what I actually Googled 5 minutes beforehand.
I remember that story.
Yeah. Teaching you about how to differentiate between male swans and female swans.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good start.
Yeah. Actually, I think, thinking back at it, on it, I think it could, if I wasn't gay and you weren't with a family and things like that, it could have been like a really good pickup line.
Love story, yeah.
Actually, go ahead.
Actually, we had a long chat that evening, no? Maybe 2 hours. We were chatting, speaking about everything, about sales. It was amazing, yeah.
Yeah, and also
Sneer came. I love your team very much.
Yeah, Sneer came along and Nahum came, and it was a very long chat over there. And I didn't say anything once this big conversation started, but I was saying it to myself in my mind, this is all started because of me. This is thanks to me that this is happening, because I was approaching you and talking with you about the swans. And who knew that a few months afterwards you'd be on this podcast? We didn't even know back then that we were going to have a podcast. So things moved quite rapidly. So that's cool. And I want to ask you mostly about your free time, because we know that this industry is super hectic. There are so many things happening. So, you know, even if, before I ask you about your free time, how do you even balance between everything? How do you balance your personal life and this hectic work life?
Oh, it's a tough question for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing my best. Yeah. You need to balance. I don't imagine myself. I haven't mentioned it. I have a small baby. Small baby. He's 1 and 7 years old. And actually, it's not difficult, but you need to have a lot of responsibility for motherhood, for your career. And I don't imagine myself just right after the birth of my child, just to sit at home and not doing anything. That's not for me. Mm-hmm. And I love this atmosphere, this craziness that I'm always busy doing something. I'm mother from 5 to, let's say, 8. Before that, I'm a woman who does little career, and it's amazing. It's difficult, of course, but I'm managing it.
And do you do some sort of sports, meditating, praying, journaling, reading books? Like, is there something in particular that makes you be centered and to be at your best?
Yeah, of course. Whenever at evening I have spare time, I'm reading books, watching Netflix. Why not?
Netflix is.
Yeah, actually, I was doing gym as well, going to the gym. But now I don't have that power.
Do you have any show on Netflix that you really like lately that you've watched?
Yeah, there are plenty of them, and I'm really, really looking forward to you. 3rd season or 4th season.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah.
I recently watched the documentary on Netflix about Madoff and about his scam that he was doing and how so many people lost their money with him. And I was like, whoa, like what type of character you need to have to do that type of scheme of taking money from people, knowing you're not going to do anything with it outside of scheming them, and be able to be relaxed and just go on with your day. It actually was astonishing to me. I never thought that anybody could have that type of character. So it was really insightful, this documentary that I've watched.
Yeah, I also love documentaries.
You should watch it. I think you'd love it. It's really, really
about money laundering and it's interesting.
Yeah, it's really well put together. And you know, talking about being well put together, I've talked with many people in this podcast about how important it is to create an interesting and fun experience to the players in the iGaming industry, because the competition is so vast and eventually there is this goal to make the player stay with us and play more and more. What is your approach to that? And is your company is doing anything that is unique regarding this aspect of creating an exciting and a good experience to the player?
Great question, but let me give a short overview about who we are.
Yeah, most definitely.
Actually, we are an iGaming software suppliers with a rich portfolio of online slot games, and also we provide unique aggregation solutions with our special partnerships. Tamar Gaming is not considering itself as an aggregator, but we work with companies that we work for more than 10 years, so it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And actually, for new companies that are coming to the industry, I'm sure it's much difficult to speak about them, to say who they are, and to try to get players' interest. But for the companies that are for some time at the industry, it's much easier because they know what kind of players this or that operator has, what is the behavior from this region, from that market. And we are analyzing everything and providing the wants, the games, the features that people are looking for. So yeah, we have great plans for 2023, and we're realizing it gradually. So we consider it a lot. We speak to the operators, what they think about the players, how they are like, and yeah, we're doing a lot of researches on this, and based on that, we're creating the games.
So let me see if I got you correctly. So you have like two hats per se. One hat of an aggregator, if I'm correct. True?
Uh-huh.
And the second one is you creating the actual games and providing them to the operators.
Yeah, we're a game provider, providing our slot games, but we also provide live content with live dealers. So
got it.
And it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it sounds very unique, first of all. So that's interesting. And as you know, this podcast is called Business Leaders Stories. So I'm curious to ask you, what is your definition of a leader?
I wouldn't consider me as a leader. But when I look back to the way I passed, I walked, I can understand that I'm quite a long time in the industry. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to share my experience, to share my thoughts about it. So, yeah, leader is a big word.
Yeah,
but anyways, first of all, it's my network, let's say. I know a lot of people in the industry. I know what's going on inside it. I'm reading a lot of news, a lot of updates about what is happening right now in the industry. Who led this company? Who joined that one? So yeah, what company has closed? Or I'm being very well informed about it, and once meeting the clients, the prospects, you know what's going to happen after. So
two things. So first of all, you say that being a leader, it's about being as knowledgeable as possible about the industry and knowing what goes on around you. And second is once you meet the right people, the right prospects or so on and so forth, knowing what the process is going to be starting from that point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you can understand from people what exactly they want.
I like it. Being able to understand what people really want, reading between the lines.
That makes sense.
Not only what they tell you, but really have a sense of what they really want. I like it. And maybe, just maybe, you have a nice story to share about a leader. Might be somebody you worked for, somebody who's even from your family, or somebody who you don't know in person, but a leader, somebody who you would consider a leader that had a positive influence on you in your work life, personal life.
Once you said about leader, somebody came to my mind in just 1 second. So yes, but I'll tell you a story before I start the main story.
Perfect.
Actually, I worked in different companies. I had a lot of managers who were on higher position than me, of course. And I never felt that I am impressed of a person, how he works, how he communicates with the employees. And I'll be honest, Tomorrow Gaming is the first company when you don't see the management pressure. You don't see that somebody is telling every day he is your boss. Our company is not very big. And I love it that you feel so confident, you feel so comfortable that you have a question, you go directly to the CEO telling, okay, let's solve this. I have this issue. So you're doing it in 1 second. And you don't have this, I'm the boss, you are the employee policy.
I think it is called flat hierarchy, that everybody is on the same level.
Yeah, it's amazing. You can speak about every topic that is bothering you, even that is interesting for you. You can discuss anything possible. It's amazing that you can be on the same level to come up with ideas and somebody's here to listen to you.
Yes.
So it's amazing. Hi, Andre. I will say hi to my CEO because he's doing great. I never saw such people who have the position and they don't press the employees and they're just on the same level with the employees. It's amazing.
Wow. So you basically say that the thing that impacted you the most is your current CEO, if I'm correct, that his management style or leadership style would be better to say
leadership.
This, is to have flat hierarchy where anybody can talk to anybody and you don't feel pressure to prove yourself. You can just be your authentic self and to talk about whatever you want with whomever you want. And that's how you generate new ideas and get things solved rather quickly.
That's correct. And you're always welcome to say anything you're thinking about, and it's normal in our company. I love the policy.
Yeah, wow, okay, that's super cool. And I can obviously relate to that because at Global.ai, it works the very same way. And I actually remember, and that's the reason I know this term, flat hierarchy, because when I was searching about the company, when they offered me doing this podcast, so I searched for reviews to know if it's a good company, it's a bad company, what people say. And the first review that I've read was, it's a great company, they have flat hierarchy where you can talk to anybody you want. And I said, wow, okay, that's cool, because I was a freelancer for many years. And one of the reasons for that was because I have an army background, as everybody in Israel, everybody who goes to the army. And in the army, you have very strict hierarchy, super strict. And I said to myself, no, I'm not going to go through that again, like have this kind of dynamic. So I completely understand and agree with you how important it is just to be able to be your authentic self and to be able to talk to whoever you want, just to get your ideas presented and solved and so on. So that's super cool. What advice would you give to leaders in this industry these days? Because as you said, you're super informed about everything. So I'm pretty sure you know all the dirty stories of every company.
Gossips.
Exactly. So what advice, besides having a flat hierarchy, whatever, what advice would you give to leaders in this industry?
There are a lot of big and small companies. And of course, for big companies, it's a bit difficult.
Yes.
But anyways, my advice will be one only, just to be more in the teams, to know what's going on inside the company. I had a lot of cases when I met CEOs not very big companies, and they were just giving me the business cards of the right person. That was it. And I see difference when you care about your company. When somebody's coming to you, you are interested what's wrong maybe with your company, or how you can help that person with. instead of just giving a business card. So my advice is to be more with the teams, to know what exactly they want, what's going on inside the company. It's very important, and believe me, employees are feeling this.
Wow.
How you care about them.
This is so impactful what you just said. It's like not lose touch with reality, essentially. Don't just, you know, get into your own little bubble of a CEO and just, you know, forget about everything. Like be on the ground with your team and know what is going on. Wow, I think this is super important.
Yeah, and as much they treat the employees will take that much to the partner, about the partner. So it makes sense. So
yes,
you are motivated at the more.
Most definitely. I'm intrigued to share with you this concept that I have, and you'll let me know if I'm true or maybe I'm mistaken. This industry is mostly male-dominated industry, specifically when we are talking about managers and C-levels and so on and so forth. Did you have the experience when you go to specific events or even business meetings when you are the only woman in the room?
A lot. Yes, a lot. But I'm feeling fine with this. You know, I think, I don't know how other females of the industry think about this, but for me, it's very easy to communicate with men. And I think much easier than with women.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's the issue with this. But I feel fine. I don't feel like, oh, I'm the only woman here. No, it's just about the people. You can communicate with every single person. Doesn't matter.
Did it happen to you that somebody mistaked you to be like the secretary or something? That they thought that you are with this other male figure that he's probably like the CEO or some C-level and you are just an assistant or something like that?
That would be interesting, but not.
Because I've heard so many stories of women in business situations where other men are coming and they automatically assume that the female, she's just a secretary or a personal assistant or something like that. I've heard so many stories.
From my experience, the people take me seriously. Like I can be on this position and in this company. But no, I hadn't.
Well,
I haven't had this kind of case, but it's interesting. I'd like to hear stories.
Yeah, that's good. It makes me hopeful that we are getting to times where, you know, we don't judge the other person based on their gender, but really on what they bring to the table. So I think that's great. And on the same note, why do you think there are relatively less women in this industry in comparison to men, for example? What's the reason for that, in your opinion?
My answer will be very basic, because it's the men's world. And manpower, I don't know. I'm not very feministic. I love when men are, you know, stronger than women. But of course, I like the flexibility. I like the freedom that women can work. They can develop themselves and be themselves, let's say, like this. And I don't know, it would be great to have more women in the industry, but I see a lot of changes are coming and it's amazing. So yeah, it's growing and I'm sure it will change a lot.
Well, I hope so. I think you are the third female on the podcast, and every time I have a female guest, I'm super stoked about it, because I think that the conversation has like a different vibe than talking to another man. So it always
can be. Yeah,
yeah, it's always nice. And you said earlier you have a little son that is almost 2 years old. What are your favorite activities to do with him?
He's so active that everything is an activity with him. I like playing with him. I like doing some interactive games. I like watching how he's thinking, what's going to do. So yeah, it's so interesting to watch him grow, and time goes so fast that I'm trying to enjoy every single moment, or I don't have much time, but I'm doing my best to be a good mom and to spend as much time as I can with him. And I love everything, doing everything with him, reading books, doing interactive games, walking, watching the birds flying, everything.
This is so cute watching the birds flying. That's,
yeah.
Isn't it like the one thing you can only do with your sons, like with a baby, because they have no perception of time, and is it like too basic, is it too advanced? Like they are just present in the moment. So everything comes to life when you are looking on it through the eyes of a baby. So that's so nice. There was any big surprise that you've experienced as a fresh mom? Something you didn't expect and that was a positive or a negative surprise for you?
A lot of surprises came after his birth, and I was not prepared for that. I was reading a lot of books about maternity, how to raise the child, and etc. But first 6 months for me were the most difficult ones. But I started working when he was 5 months old. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, I was thinking I'm doing everything right from the book. And
yes.
Right after, I just relaxed and I said, moms are feeling what is better for their children. So, and I relax and do whatever is necessary. Because during the first 3-4 months, I was so obsessed. I wanted to do everything alone. I was not asking for any help. And after, I just took a breath and I said, no, that's enough. I'm going to work again.
You know, it's so interesting. It's interesting what you just said, because I think we live in a society where we take our self-confidence is being taken away from us in a way, and society makes us think that we need a book, we need a guidance, we need somebody to hold our hands, otherwise we'll do like a major mistake. And I honestly think, just as you said, that the mother knows best what is the right thing for her baby. And the power of intuition, I think it's something that is highly underestimated in our society, specifically motherhood. So that's a great point you just brought up.
In every sphere, I think you just need to listen to yourself, what you're feeling, what you want, and that's the right answer. So I'll tell you a short story.
Yes.
I changed the company last April. I worked in company for 3 months, and that was a very, very difficult decision for me. I didn't know what's waiting for me at Tomorrow Gaming, and now I'm here in sunny Spain. I'm so happy that I made a decision. I just made a decision and I went, because I was feeling inside myself that I'm doing a correct decision. So
yes,
it helps a lot to listen to yourself sometimes.
Yes, I have to say, I don't know if people will see it on video or only on the audio side of things, but you actually radiate, like you look happy. And I think like...
I am.
So I honestly think that this is the best thing. Like if you can work at something you really, really like, I don't think you can really ask anything better or greater than this. So you have one baby. Are you married? You have a boyfriend? You're a single mom. What was the situation?
I'm married for more than 5 years. Yeah, 5 years.
5 years.
And
people who listen to this podcast, they know I have an obsession with relationships. So the next question would be, how did you meet your husband?
That's a basic answer, because we met via Facebook accidentally.
And, accidentally.
I'm Armenian. My husband is Polish. Mm. And he just texted me on Facebook. Hey, my name is Thomas. How are you? That's how it started.
I like it.
Yeah.
And you were living in the same country at the time, or?
No.
He
was in Poland, and in a month after texting each other, he came to Armenia. In 6 months, we were already married. So yeah, it was quite quick. Yeah.
Wow. You know, my boyfriend tells me that before we are together an entire year, we can't even live together. So, you know, it's a shock to me. You said you got married after 6 months. So what is the secret? Like, how come it was so quick?
Maybe we were tired of meeting each other for 2 days during a month. Because every month during these 6 months, we were flying for 2 days, 3 days for a weekend. And it was really... I don't like long distance relationships, because it's taking a lot of energy. You're always waiting for something to happen. You don't know you will be together or not. It's very yes. confusing situation.
Yes.
But we managed it. So we decided, okay, let's get married and finish this topic.
Finish this topic. I like yeah. how practical you are.
Yeah.
There was a moment when you felt like he's the one. Do you remember a moment like this?
Yeah, he was. I'm making decisions very fast. I'm a very easygoing person. And he was like this. I liked it. That was the first, you know, signal that he is the one because, yeah, why not? Let's do this. I like this in everything. We just, last year, we were feeling like we don't feel so comfortable in Poland. I don't know why. We wanted to move to a bigger city, to a bigger country or somewhere else just to change the atmosphere. And that time I had a small baby. We were not sure what we were going to do. And he just said, maybe we change the country. Yeah, let's check Spain and Italy. So we stopped on Spain and here we are now.
Wow.
And I like those people who are not stuck in one place, who don't take everything so seriously. Life is so short that you need to take your decisions so fast and you just need to enjoy what exactly makes you happy.
Wow, I like it. And you know, it's funny that you brought it up because usually I ask it as our conversation is leaning towards its end. So it's interesting that you brought it up because the last question I always ask, it's not going to be the last in this case, but anyway, I ask people to imagine that they are 120 years old. Okay, so picture yourself as an old lady, all right?
How come I?
Laying on your deathbed, all right? Surrounded by everybody you love the most, your baby, which obviously will be already grown up. Maybe you'll have more kids, your husband, family, friends, everybody whom you love the most. And take this, everything content-wise that you've created in your life is disappearing completely. So this podcast will be deleted. Every social media post, every letter you wrote, everything is disappearing. And this is your last chance to give your loved one three significant truths about life that you want to leave them with. Like, what your legacy will be for them.
Wow, I love this question.
Yes.
Let me think. First one will be, don't take life seriously. Second one would be not to overthink because it's nothing. It doesn't help. And the third one will be just to spend more time with the loved ones because you don't know what can happen next.
Yeah, well, you know, actually it's a sad story, but it resonated with me what you just said that that's one of the reasons we postponed the podcast a few times, that the father of my boyfriend passed away.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like a month ago, almost on Sunday, it will be 1 month. And it was so shocking and surprising because he went into a surgery to fix his knee. To put it in a way that I can actually express because I'm not very good in a healthcare terminology. So I'll put it like this.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to fix his knee. And he went out of the operation. Everything was good. Everything was cool. He already texted his family that he'll be coming home soon, even maybe the next day. And then he went out of his bed and he got stroke or something. And in two minutes, he was gone. And
oh,
we're talking
God.
About somebody who was super active, super present in his kid's life and his family and friends. And it is still a shock. So when you say that life is short and things happen quickly, I think that's so, so true. And people take it for granted. Like we are living our lives and we take the next breath for granted. And we take even our conversation with every person for granted as if they're going to be another conversation. And this is not granted to anybody of us. So I like it that you brought this to the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, life is short.
Yeah.
So we need to do everything that we want and we just must be happy.
Yeah, because happiness is a choice. I honestly think so. Because, you know, our minds goes in like 100 kilometers per hour. But if you just be present, as you said, with your baby, just look at the birds flying and have like those basic moments that are, on one side, they are basic, but on the other hand, I think they are very cherishable in a way. So I think that that what makes makes life really worthwhile. Do you have any interesting plans for yourself and for your baby and your family for the future?
I don't like making plans, to be honest.
You like to decide quick. Once the idea comes up, you make the decision.
Now I'm preparing everything for ICE. So it's, there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of appointments to make. And so, yeah, my next step is ICE, and after ICE to work on the client, on the partners we already spoke. So this is an ongoing process after each exhibition. And yeah, our company has great plans for this year, and I'm looking forward to them.
It's my first ICE, yeah, by the way.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's my first one.
You like it.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite shows, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Okay, I really hope I'm going to take it, because we have so much work, as you just said about yourself, that I'm like, whoa, this is overwhelming. Like, I thought Malta was extensive, but now it...
No. It's much bigger. Believe me. And the great thing is that ICE is always on my birthday, so I'm always enjoying it.
Oh, wait, so you have a birthday on February? On the 4th?
Yeah.
February, so it's 2 days before the event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So you'll be celebrating, and then you'll come to the event to have like the bigger celebration.
No, I'm coming go forth to celebrate it there.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And one last thing I want to ask is, because we talked about representation of women in this industry, what advice would you give to a woman that wants to get into this industry, as someone who's been in it for many years already and been successful at this?
To believe what they are talking about, first of all.
Mm.
Because as we know, men don't trust women so much. To be confident. To be confident and not to be afraid to make decisions and just go straight to their dreams.
Well, I like it. I like it. I also like when you said men don't trust women too much. You know, actually,
it's true. Yeah.
You know, actually, in the Jewish culture, in the Bible, it says that, I don't agree with that, but I'm just quoting, paraphrasing per se, that it says that women cannot even be a source of, like, when you need to give a witness testimony to something that happened. So in the Bible, it says that women cannot even be the one who testify for something that happened. So this is to the extreme, but you know, what you just said about, but I'll tell you, it's funny when I think about it, why do we take less credibility with women other than men? Because why? Because there is more emotion interwoven into everything. Like, why is that? Because for me personally, like, my biggest idol is Oprah, obviously a female, Oprah Winfrey. So why do you think is that? Just out of curiosity.
I think you're right because of the emotions, but women have the opportunity that men don't have. So that's the multitasking. Whenever, I'm sure it's like this, when men are doing one thing, they're just concentrated on that thing because they're doing only that one. Women can do multitasking, and it's always, you know, much more productive. And combination of men's and women's, you know, mind, brainstorming can be a great combo. So yeah, women must be in this industry, and I don't agree that you don't need to trust women or something like this.
I like it. I like the message. I like how you said it. I think it is beautiful. Is there is one last thing you want anybody to take from this podcast before we wrap up?
The podcast went so pure, and we just chatted like, you know, like an old friend. And actually, that was amazing. I'm very glad that you asked the question about women power in the industry and about women in general. So yeah, it's amazing to know that women can do and should do career, and they can grow, they can be confident. That's what we need. That's what we need in the industry.
Most definitely. And I just want to thank you for the compliment that you gave me about having conversation like two friends, because that was my initial intention with this podcast. I want people to listen to it and really have a sense as if they are listening to two friends having a conversation, though we are friends, so it's not as if.
Sure, yeah. Sorry for that one.
No, you're not doing sorry. I'm just joking. So yeah, I'm super happy that we had a chance. And if anybody wants to look you up and message you and learn more about you, where can they find you?
Of course, first of all, on LinkedIn. Because I'm very.
I'm just saying she's already
LinkedIn.
Married. So every man who's going to try to pull off your husband's strategy, it's already gone. So only business inquiries, please.
Only business inquiries, right.
So on LinkedIn, I guess, and yeah. Any other platform?
Sure. It's my email address, anna@tomorrowgaming.com.
Perfect. Anna, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure and super insightful to talk to you.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, we'll talk to you again on the next episode. So bye for now.